From the Haunted Attraction Network, this is Marketing Monday, a show about marketing for the themed entertainment and attraction industry. I'm Philip, and today, Tyler and I will be discussing the wonderful world of Instagram. Facebook's image-driven social site may be a little young, but there's no doubting their power or their intent to capture more of the social market. We'll talk tips, stats, guidelines, and a little theory to give you a crash course in Instagram management. Before we get into all that, though, I'm going to play a clip from the 2016 commencement speech at UC Berkeley, given by Facebook's COO, Sheryl Sandberg.
1 year and 13 days ago, I lost my husband, Dave. His death was sudden and unexpected. I walked into a gym to find him lying on the floor. Dave's death changed me in very profound ways. I learned about the depths of sadness and the brutality of loss. But I also learned that when life sucks you under, you can kick against the bottom, find the surface, and breathe again. Everyone who's made it through Cal has already experienced some disappointment. You wanted an A, but you got a B. You applied for an internship at Facebook, but you only got one at Google. She was clearly the love of your life, but then she swiped left. Game of Thrones, the show, has diverged way too much from the books, and you're mad because you read 4,352 pages.
So why did I play that clip? Well, this speech demonstrates in a single moment the essence of social media, something that's crucial to understand before you can be successful at it. Social media permeates our lives. It has leaked into everyday moments from death to commencement speeches. It is, at the core, for connection and understanding. You must understand that to be successful with social, you have to connect and enhance the experience of your customers. And sometimes, that means being vulnerable in a public way. Well, enough of that. It's time to tackle the wonderful world of Instagram, and for that, I need my co-host, Tyler.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.
This is Marketing Monday with your lovable, surly, and sometimes eccentric hosts, Tyler and Philip.
Hey, Tyler, what's up?
Hey, what's up? I like that intro you gave. So, I mean, I guess it's clear that today we're talking about Instagram!
The wonderful world of Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, we needed that Disney music, I swear. Just a little... I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. We're talking about Instagram, people. It's really important. And it's owned by Facebook now.
Yes, so let's start off with why it is important. First of all, Tyler, what do you have on why it's important and who uses Instagram?
Well, I think that is both the same question. Because why is it important depends on the demographic. When we're talking about marketing and advertising, you know, if something becomes important, it's because they have an important demographic. So the research I have here is from Pew. I think everyone's heard of the Pew Research Center. And amongst all internet users, 22% of men use Instagram and 29% of all women use Instagram. And of all Instagram users, 53%, so the majority, 53% of all Instagram users are aged 18 to 29. Now that's really important because that sounds like a hot demographic to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Instagram is growing and growing and growing faster and faster every day just because I think people are – well, people generally love just to share photos and, you know, video – well, I won't say videos, like little short videos. But unlike Facebook where everything can become bogged down with, you know, news articles, textual posts, videos, things like that, Instagram is primarily dedicated to – pictures. You know, it's all photos primarily. And it's really easy to search and find photos that you want to see using hashtags and keywords and the Instagram algorithm, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So first, any more demographics. So
yeah,
I
there's
have,
actually a really important one.
Yeah.
But and this is I found this kind of shocking that 26% and this is an income demographic. So if you're planning like if you're looking to see where like pricing strategies, things like that, 26% of Instagram users make over $75,000 a year.
That's a little incredible, actually.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a high percentage.
I mean,
it's tied 26% with people that make between 50 and 75. So
well, that's certainly not me. So I don't know where that. I'm not so in that percentage.
We have 52%. So the majority of Instagram users make over $50,000 a year. So that's a neat little fact for you to consider when, you know, if you're thinking about pricing or couponing or anything like that, is like maybe Instagram is not the place to put a coupon code.
Yeah. So a few other things I have here. Instagram is now the fourth most downloaded smartphone app, following only Facebook, Facebook Messenger, and YouTube.
Holy crap.
So, yeah, you think about that also contextually in that if Instagram owns Facebook and then the top four are Facebook, Facebook, YouTube, Facebook, then, you know. So the photo and video sharing mobile platform boasts over 100 million active accounts with 70% of its users checking in at least once a day. And when it comes to mobile users, Instagram generates more activity than Twitter does, which is not surprised anybody. And some of the advertising potential on here, which we'll talk a little bit about later as well, but they now allow local advertising to boost traffic for your account and your Facebook page and your website because they're one and the same, and Tyler will talk about that a little later. Demographics-wise, I got some stuff a little different than Tyler, but ultimately the same. Most of the users are under the age of 35 years, which is exactly the haunt market. It trends to be a little more women. And as we talked about previously, most haunt attendees, 82% of them, are millennials. So if the overwhelming majority of Instagram users are in the millennial age group, being under the age of 35, then it is almost exactly your target market age-wise. And obviously, from Tyler's research, they do have disposable income. So
yeah, definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about what Instagram is. So Instagram essentially is a photo-sharing social platform. So the photos are obviously very important on here. But
and this is
so is understanding the feel, I think, a little bit, right, Tyler?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
The atmosphere of
and
Instagram.
This is where a haunted attraction or a themed attraction can really outshine anything else. Because everyone loves seeing, you know, I mean, take a typical haunted house photo or a really good photo taken at Disney World or something like that, like – people love seeing things that they can go experience themselves. Like, yeah, it's fun to, like, look at, you know, oh, so-and-so made an awesome meatloaf, and here's the ingredients. But not everyone knows how to cook. Like, not everyone's going to be able to replicate that photo. But if you share an intriguing photo from your attraction, well, anyone in that area – I mean, well, technically anybody – could go and experience that photo for themselves. So it's a unique opportunity for an attraction to post awesome content, like just photos, really, and short videos. But, you know, share photos, maybe, you know, someone getting a makeup or an awesome set, or, you know, maybe it's the summertime and you're building the sets. You know, maybe just a quick little photo, and that's all you need, and just use – you know, the appropriate hashtags, keywords.
So Tyler's kind of hit on it here. Instagram is primarily for photos that capture emotion, right? So in marketing, we talk about how action follows emotion, and you generally try and market using active emotions. So active emotions, including like anger and fear and things that kind of move to activate you, activate you to take an action. So Instagram has been most successful actually in the entertainment industry, far more so than product-based. And it's a lot of what Tyler is saying, because Instagram users prefer to capture moments and experiences in their photos rather than objects. So moments, experiences, emotion that can drive action. So it's a very largely popular for its outlet for creativity and social interaction, which makes it so viable for the entertainment industry. So this is the atmosphere of Instagram, and these are the things that you need to be considering when you are playing this out, because Instagram is not Facebook and it's not Pinterest. They're entirely different social atmospheres. So when you're thinking of Instagram, think of capturing moments, experiences, emotion. Think about the want of the audience there for creativity and social interaction. So this is part of what makes all those like Instagram selfies and all of that that craze like so popular, right? Because it's social interaction, it's an avenue for creativity, for all the ways you can adjust the photos and, you know, add text and all of that stuff. So
I like to talk about, though, how, and there's only one regard where Instagram and Facebook are exactly the same, and that's in advertising. So let's say you want to pay Instagram to have an ad placed in people's feeds or be featured within the app. And because Instagram is owned by Facebook, the Facebook advertising guidelines are the Instagram advertising guidelines. So you have to follow the same I know a lot of people have issues with like the percent of text on a photo, which for Instagram makes sense. For Facebook, I hate that rule. But for Instagram, where it's primarily photos, I can see why that's important. But the only difference you're going to see is the sizing. Like, so Instagram has different size requirements for photos than Facebook has.
Yeah, they're 1080 by 1080.
Right.
If anyone's wondering.
Right. So, but in order to create an ad on Instagram, all you have to do is log into the Power Editor on Facebook or your Ads Manager. And on the left, you'll just create a new campaign. You'll enter a campaign name. You choose your buying types, your objectives, and everything. And then there's just options. It's like Facebook or Instagram. And you just click. I mean, it's all the same, which is nice because, you know, Facebook is one unified platform that you can control everything on. So that's where they're the same. But they are, like you said, Philip, they are completely different and unique.
In terms of their feel and their culture. Yeah.
Yeah. In their
So I want you to walk people through kind of like directly how to create an ad and et cetera. So while you're preparing for that, let's just highlight some of these things for advertising on Instagram. Like Tyler said, keep in mind that when you're advertising Instagram, like the basic way to look at it is Facebook, the best images for Facebook are like portrait or are landscape, you know, where they're rectangular. So like a landscape type thing. And Instagram is perfectly square. So the optimal ones being 1080 by 1080, but obvious or 1080 by 1080, but obviously you can, you know, use pictures of different resolutions and et cetera. But Instagram is all square.
Yeah.
So when you are, when you're making your, like your ads or your designer is looking at this, you have to be thinking of your ads. If you're going to use them in multiple platforms, you have to be thinking of them in square and in portrait frame, and keep in mind the 20% rule. And that, the tricky thing about that, which I know Tyler and I have like had many conversations about, is the way that they calculate that is by the number of squares that your text takes up. So if you have text that is across, like in the top the top and then the bottom of the screen, you know, that could actually count more against you than actual 20%, because
I hate that, you know, rule. I hate that rule.
Yeah. So say you have like one word at the top. Well, if it hits over two of their boxes, you know, that's two boxes against you. And then you have like one word at the bottom and that's another, you know, so sometimes it's better to keep the text all in one area. It really just depends. And you can go online and look at the little grid tool, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't work, but it shows you what we mean when we say boxes, because they really just go in there and they just click all the boxes in which any of your text kind of creeps into. So just keep in mind that sometimes it doesn't actually mean 20%. It means how many boxes are you taking up according to their grid system, not like actually 20% of your photo. So we'll talk a little bit more about how you should make posts, but I really want Tyler, while we're on the subject, to go through exactly like where you go on your page to get an Instagram ad. And then we're going to talk about what, like how you should be using hashtags and how you should be setting up your profile and posting. But first, the ad creation.
All right. So Tyler, if you haven't discovered, you know, Facebook has their own dedicated business platforms called Facebook for Business. They have all kinds of articles and videos about marketing on Facebook, advertising on Facebook, how to create business pages, etc. The good thing is that do you need to even have an Instagram account to advertise on Instagram? And you don't. All you need to have is a Facebook business page, which most haunted houses or attractions do, to be the voice of the Instagram ad. So all you do is you go to your ad creation or your ad manager. And you're gonna create an ad, a normal ad, just like you would on Facebook. So you have to choose. I know one of the very first screens you see is you have to choose an objective, and this will be a list. Says like step one, create your campaign, and this will be things like options like you want to boost a post, promote a page, send people to your website, increase conversations on your website. I mean, there's a bunch of options there. So you just want to select the one that's best for you. The next step is to create a campaign name. So I like to be really detailed with my campaign names. So if it's like, you know, haunted house, and then like the date, and then a brief word or two about what that ad is. So it'd be like haunted house, the date, and dollar off coupon or something like that. Like I want to be as detailed as possible in the campaign name so that when I'm in my ads manager, I know exactly what that is. Now, for this instance, because it is all one unified platform, this is also probably where you want to put like dash like Instagram or dash Facebook so that you know, okay, this campaign was for Instagram or this campaign was for Facebook. So just be really detailed in your campaign name just to make it nicer to look at and easier to read in your ad manager. So next, you actually set up your audience, and this looks exactly the same as creating a Facebook campaign. This is where you can choose locations, your demographic information, any languages, interests, behaviors, and you have like – I know everyone has seen the audience – I think it's called like the audience definition dial, where it's like really targeted or not very targeted, and Facebook kind of gives you the metrics of this is how many people is going to see your ad for this much money or whatever. It looks exactly the same, and it is the same because it's all the same platform. So you fill out all that information. Then you go to budgeting and scheduling. This is where you could pay a certain amount per day or have a lifetime budget. This is where you can schedule, let's say you wanted to run a certain weekend or you wanted to run every day for the month of October, the times, you know, this is where you figure out the finances of it. And again, it's exactly the same as the Facebook platform. Let's see, what else? You can create it under an ad set, because in the ads manager, you do have the ability to have ad sets. So this is where you can even further organize your campaigns, because you can have an ad set for Instagram and an ad set for Facebook. So specific audience and ad campaigns for those platforms. I know it's like sounds really technical, but once you're like doing it, and after you've done it a couple times, it's like it's really easy. It's very detailed, and Facebook has a nice platform to do that on. Now, you will have to format. There's a format section to choose the type of creative that you would like to have in your ad. Now, on Instagram, if I'm not mistaken, right now it is strictly an image-based – like there's a single image and a multiple image-based ad. I don't think currently they host video. I think that's strictly Facebook right now. I personally am not an Instagram user, so I don't have a definite answer for you. But I think right now it is just a single image ad or a multiple image ad. I know on Facebook, people, I don't know if you've noticed this, but you can have multiple page, like image ads. So it's an ad, but you can actually scroll through different images and each image is clickable. So it's like that. And then that's pretty much it. So under your ad preview, it basically is like you get your like the desktop newsfeed preview, your mobile newsfeed preview, and at the very bottom there's an Instagram preview. So just preview your ad, make sure, and they'll give you like the Instagram screen. Make sure it looks good, all the text is appropriate. You know, you'll want to you know, fix your call to action buttons, your links, clicks, everything. And then and that's pretty much it. You know, you actually, you know, you go back and you have to select Instagram as for your platform in the beginning, but that's it. I mean, everything's pretty much the same. You know, as
so there's one thing too I wanted to bring up. While you don't need an Instagram account to run ads on there, you might consider having one.
Oh no, anyway. I would always recommend having one, but you don't need one.
And also, if you don't have an Instagram account and you're running ads anyway, it'll just link to your Facebook page, but you won't be able to respond to comments on your ad, which is a little awkward. If people are commenting on your ad, you won't be able to do that because you don't have an account on Instagram to go in and do that on. So just to point that out.
Yeah, definitely. It creates an awkward situation, and I do foresee a future where Facebook is going to update the photos of Facebook, and it'll be photos powered by Instagram. So you'll actually be able to get Facebook notifications based on your Instagram photos. But that's a future that hasn't happened yet. But, you know,
yeah,
who knows?
So that was a little overview on how to advertise on there. Let's actually now talk about what we mean when we say hashtags and a little bit about what you should be doing with your account and what you should be utilizing, how you should be utilizing it. So, okay, hashtags. So hashtags are, I don't know how to describe them best, but they're, if you have no idea what a hashtag is, it's almost like little labels, like a filing system where, you know, you used to put notes or highlight things or put little tags on papers that have general topics, kind of like taking notes even in books or et cetera, using like a highlighter for specific things. That's essentially what a hashtag is. It's kind of just tagging material with what it is actually related to. So that's what a hashtag is. Now let's talk about hashtags on Instagram. So you want to use hashtags because – well, it indexes your photos so that when people are searching for them, they have a higher likelihood of getting brought up. So it's kind of like SEO in that regard, in that like you're optimizing your photos for search within the Instagram platform. So now where to put them? So Instagram has a max of 30 hashtags. And I highly recommend you actually use all 30 hashtags because, you know, the more subjects that you're tagged to, you know, the more times you can come up and search. So don't tag it for inappropriate things, but, you know, kind of think of as many hashtags as you can that relate to the photo that you're putting on there. So when you are posting on Instagram, when you bring up your image to post it, so I don't know, you guys can like maybe follow along with me if you have an Instagram account or et cetera. So you're opening up your Instagram and you're posting an image, and there's a place for you to put in the description of the image. There's a place for you to put in tag people in it and also to put in the location and the little description of what the image is, you know, and then you post it. So a lot of people mess this part up in that they put the hashtags in the image description, which really is not where they should go. So the best place for the hashtags to go is in the comment section. So best thing to do is describe your image and put your call to action, which we'll talk about next, in your image description. And then go in and comment with your hashtags. And it's done that way because as soon as other people start commenting on your photo, then the later comments are hidden. So your hashtag, you know, will be your hashtag post, which is 30 hashtags, will be kind of buried as more people post and comment on that. So it will look cleaner than having a post with 30 hashtags in the description, which just looks really messy. And it, you know, people don't want to stop and look at that because it looks so messy.
Especially if they don't know what a hashtag is. And they're like, what is this Chinese nonsense?
Yeah, and it's all like blue and et cetera. So some examples here, you know, like popular like hashtags, I guess. You know, hashtag Instagood, hashtag food, like food porn will lead you to a trove of delicacies and foodie accounts. You really want to select them carefully according to the digital audience you're trying to reach. So,
you know what you could do? You can get creative with that. Let's say you can, you know, if you have, let's say you have your attraction, your haunted house, you have a dinner set with like a really disgusting plating, and you have a character there enjoying a nice meal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know, you can like, you know, so like you see where I'm going. Like it's a very haunt oriented picture. Hashtag food porn. It's just like,
yeah. Exactly. The other things to consider too. I use an app for hashtag generation called Let's Tag, and I can't even tell you how many like dozens and dozens and dozens of hashtag generation things I have tried, like so many of them. And Let's Tag is my favorite. And it's free, and it allows you to like put in a search term and it comes up with relevant hashtags, and then you just click and pick the hashtags you want, and it populates a list of up to 30, and then you just like copy and paste it right into your Instagram.
Nice.
So it saves a lot of time. I also keep kind of running lists in my Evernote. I have an Evernote folder that's just for hashtags where I keep a list of kind of like recurring hashtags. Especially for haunted attractions, you guys want to keep in mind, like, to find relevant hashtags for your area. So these might include things such as, like, local high schools or mascots or sports teams or hangout places, things that your locals would recognize, and things that are, like, trending for your local area, your local events. So kind of think about that, too. I mean, you should know kind of what's in your area, but if you don't, you can just do some quick research, like go into Instagram and do like some hashtag mining. So, you know, select a location within the search feature of Instagram and, you know, usually your city, and then you can see what hashtags are most popular and see which ones would fit for what you're doing, right? So, like, you know, things to do in your city, and then, you know, your city and all the slang terms for your city. Like we know Southern California, you know, SoCal, right? Like that's a really popular slang for that. So you'd put like hashtag CA, you know, for California, like hashtag like Silicon Valley, hashtag SoCal, you know, hashtag LA, you know, hashtag Los Angeles, you know, like just location, there's like 10.
And you know, with this year, especially in October, we're going to have hashtag Decision 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Be a popular hashtag. So maybe you can get creative with, like, you know, so a creative photo where someone has to decide, like, do I want to get scared or do I want to poop my pants or something like that? Decision 2016. You know, you can play. Oh, and I do want to make a correction to what I was talking about earlier, just because I can feel the people smashing their keyboards hating on me right now trying to correct me. Instagram does support video advertising. and the option to select Instagram or not select Instagram is in your ad preview. So when you're at the end of making your ad under ad preview, the desktop version, like the desktop newsfeed, the mobile newsfeed, the desktop right column, audience network, and Instagram are all automatically checkmarked. Those are the locations where your ad will be displayed. If you want only Instagram, then you will need to remove all the previous items and have just Instagram. Although I would suggest running the ad on both Facebook and Instagram, just, you know, kill two birds with one stone. So that's where that's at. So just to clarify what that is. It's in the ad preview.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Actually, I pulled it up to check it out. So here's a little example on hashtag generation from Austin, who actually is writing an article on Instagram for the June issue of the Haunt Journal. So I have an example from him, which is really good. So here we go. Recently, while working with a client of the banking industry that specializes in helping American veterans, we recognized a trending hashtag. In response to a recent push for awareness of veterans suffering from PTSD, we found that hashtag 22TooMany was trending in our target market. We quickly compiled a photo of a recent client that had suffered, that had shared their story of suffering from PTSD, along with their positive testimonial of working with our team, and made a post using hashtag 22TooMany. Within a 24-hour window, our post was shared nearly 80,000 times and reached over 1.2 million news feeds without any paid advertising. By recognizing the interests of our target market and tapping into what a trending topic and hashtag, we were able to successfully reach our audience and share our company message. Although this example occurred on Facebook, similar success can be made on all social platforms if you successfully master the art of hashtag. So that's a great example.
Hashtag from, don't fuck with Austin.
Yeah, no. He, I mean, he ends this by being like, lastly, I find it only fitting as Instagram is the biggest outlet for the famous hashtag selfie that we leave you with our own hashtag sorry, not sorry. So yeah, you know, a great case study here from Austin on, you know, while this was Facebook, but they did do some mining to figure out what was trending, and they used that trending hashtag, and they made a piece of content, though, like Tyler had said, you know, with the food example, they made a piece of content, like, specifically for that. They didn't try and just – yeah, they didn't try and just, like, piggyback off the hashtag. They were like, we need to make a story that resonates with these people, like I had said in the intro, right, like this idea of connection – that connects with these people and resonates with them, and use the hashtag then to allow people to find it. So
yeah,
great
like,
example.
Like what you could do, like on my, like what I brought up, you know, have one of your icon characters this October hold up a box of Boo Berry or Count Chocula and say hashtag decision 2016. I mean, you know, create a specific picture that's funny that draws people to your icon, and using a hashtag that will be popular in October to kind of take advantage of some of that. So, you know, that's dead on.
So, moving on now to your profile. So, some things to consider on your profile. Okay, first of all, your profile name, your handle. If this is a business account, your handle, your name, your profile name needs to actually be your business name or related to your business in some way. It is capped, so it might not be the same thing. So, for instance, for the network, our Instagram is haunted_attractions because we're the Haunted Attraction Network, but that was too long, so we changed it to Haunted Attractions. Okay, but it's still like – it still relates to what we're doing, so it's not something completely random. The next thing, okay, you have a short character description here to use, and this is the place to put your mission statement or to put whatever zing that you can think of that can fit. It's a very – it's almost like a the same character count as a Twitter, as a tweet, so be very mindful of what you do with that space. It's very important. So ours on the network says Haunted Attraction Network – be inspired, get connected, stay informed, achieve more with all of our products from shows to magazines. So short and sweet, it's actionable, achieve more with all of our products from shows to magazines, and it kind of describes the essence of the network, right?
Does it allow you to put a URL in the description?
Yes, that's the next thing. You have room to put one URL on your account. So that URL is the most important thing on your Instagram. you need to be very mindful of where that URL is going and what it's doing. So ours goes to our homepage because that's where we're trying to drive traffic. It's thehauntedattractionnetwork.com. Now, I recognize, though, that might not be the best thing.
I was about to bring that up. I was about to recommend.
It's really not like, you know, what you should be doing is, well, I guess it really depends on your strategy. So if you are using Instagram to target like the much younger crowd, so say you're using your Facebook to target your mid-rangers, like 25 to like 44 in there, right? And you're running more like adult content, et cetera, and using your Instagram for like the high school kids, right? And all of that stuff, then wherever your URL leads needs to lead to something that connects with them. So maybe it leads to a landing page that is specifically designed for them. So a lot of really good business case studies I can't remember the name of it right now. I don't have it in front of me, but.
Well, I was going to suggest that depending on how, like, if you've properly set up and you've been running your Instagram and people are liking your photos and everything, that URL should just go straight into your ticketing window. So, because if they've seen your Instagram, they've seen all the pictures. They've probably already made a decision on whether or not they want to buy a ticket. So that URL might need to just go right to your ticketing page.
Yeah, so I could agree with that. I would say it should go to maybe a customized version of your ticketing page depending on, like, what campaign you're doing. So, for example, you guys need – if you're going to be running campaigns, like Tyler had mentioned, like a discount thing, or if you're going to be – you know, using your Instagram to target a specific market and run some contest or campaign with them, you're going to want your URL to go to something that relates to that or that, you know, explains that or et cetera. You know, because while you can put links in your description, no one really goes into, like, an Instagram description and copies and pastes a hyperlink out of that. You know, like that's not really done. And you can put a link in your photos, which, you know, we could talk about maybe on a different episode, but like the whole idea of branding, you know, of including your brand, your logo on your photos, you know.
So I got a question then. So
first I have an example to explain it better, which might answer your question. So one of the best case studies out there is for Founder Magazine, and Founder Magazine is a young entrepreneur magazine. It's a digital magazine for entrepreneurs and startup founders. So this is what they have. Their username is Founder Magazine, FOUNDR, like not like DR, not DER, so Founder Magazine.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and they're young entrepreneur magazine. So their description is a digital magazine for entrepreneurs and startup founders. For mobile and tablet on Apple and Android. Grab our free How to Start a Business issue. So their URL is actually a link to a lead page, and the lead page is just like a really nice and very tight like squeeze page that is like here's basically a free ebook on how to start a profitable online business from scratch. And it's a step-by-step guide, and they have all their points on here, and then they have a whole page of testimonials, and there's just a giant button that's like, yes, give it to me, and then you click it, and you enter your email, and it emails it to you. So, I mean, they have 783,000 followers. So when you look – I read and then listened to the case study on this company when Instagram was newer than it is now. And they basically built their entire business from Instagram. They got everybody, all their users, like all their subscribers, everything from Instagram, and they change their link depending on what free piece of content they're giving away. So for each campaign, they change their link, and then every time, and then they'll post little, you know, photos that advertise their guide. You know, the definitive guide to start an online business is one of their top posts, and it's like, press the link in our bio to access this free step-by-step guide on how to start an online business from scratch, right? So that's how they do it, and that's a really good business strategy for Instagram. So I don't happen to do that, so maybe I should listen to my own advice and actually set something like that up. But that's a really good example of how they have kind of grown that, because then, you know, they do exactly what we talk about. They turn their Instagram followers into email subscribers, so they own them then, because they're on their owned platform. So they go straight from Instagram into their email list, and they stay on their email list and keep getting content until they eventually subscribe to their magazine. So
is the URL in the description clickable?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the only URL that is. Like, it's the only URL on your Instagram that is. If you put anything in the description of the photo, it's not clickable. So the only thing that's clickable is the one in your bio.
Okay. Because I know you mentioned about copy and pasting. And I was like, oh, is it not clickable? Like, do you have to copy and paste the URL?
No, that's what I meant is, like, if you put the URL, if you post a picture, like, your actor doing food, and you're like, oh, download you can get a dollar off if you bring food to our zombie team.
Yeah.
And to get a dollar off, go to www.scarefactor.com/get-a-dollar-off-now. And then the person would have to like copy or like retype that link from the from your photo into their address bar, right? So the call to action is pretty weak in that case, because they're probably not going to do that because people on the internet are lazy.
So it's not clickable. It's not directly clickable.
Okay. Whatever you put in your photo descriptions are not clickable. The link that is in your profile description is clickable.
Okay, remember, folks, I don't have an Instagram. I've never been an Instagram user. I just know advertising.
but that's why that URL is very important, because it's the only thing that people are going to be able to click. So think about that in terms of how you're going to make your call to action. So if all you want to do is just say, get our tickets, then I would follow Tyler's advice of making that page go like directly to your ticket thing. Because you don't want to lose people having them like go and figure all this stuff out. You want them to go straight to whatever actually you want to take. So just make sure you really spend some time and make that link very good. So okay, we talked about hashtags, we talked about what to use in your URL. Now the last thing I want to cover here is kind of the format of your posting. There's a trick to Instagram out there, and it's the ABC rule, and it stands for always be closing, which I'm sure Ernest knows a lot about. So
yes,
it's important to remember that the purpose of these social platforms is to generate potential customers. Consider the emotion being portrayed in your photo, your caption, even down to the emoticons. First, evoke emotion, then channel that emotion by providing your audience with an action. That's a quote from Austin's article, but I really couldn't have said it better, so I quoted it anyway. So always be, plus I, is my idea. So always be closing. What that means is you always want to be evoking an emotion and asking your audience to take action. So you're not – let me give an example. You're not just saying, here's a photo of a cool zombie. Yay! Right? Like you're trying to evoke emotion. Like so I did one where there was a video of a girl, it was from a really old movie, and there's a guy with like a knife blade, and he runs it across her eye, and then like the eye, it like bleeds, the eye bleeds out. It's really kind of gross. It's obviously that it's like a gelatin eye, and it's obvious, you know, that it's black and white. It's obvious that the photo is a different person. Like, there's a lot of obvious things in it. So, you know, I was like, you know, tag someone that you want to gross out with this photo, you know, so it's actionable, and it's pulling off of that emotion, which is like gross and fear and all of that stuff. And so it, you know, got people to, you know, tag them in there, and then they saw this photo and it kind of like allowed people to play this little prank on their friends.
Well, and I also want to point out too, and this is just me. I have no reference this to anything. So this is just me asserting something I don't like. I don't like emojis used in posts. I don't think a business should ever use an emoji, just because the lexicon of what an emoji is different and not everyone knows it. So, for instance, an eggplant isn't an eggplant to the market of Instagram. An O-face is not an O-face.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. So you have to
You
have to be careful, because you may, you know, use an emoji that you, like, oh, well, this is like a happy face or whatever. And to the users of Instagram, it's not. Like, the meaning of that emoji is something else. So my advice, just don't use emojis.
I mean, I use emojis, and I think there's something wrong with using, like, maybe not wild ones, but yeah, I think there's something wrong with like a smiley face,
yes, exactly.
Maybe a winky face in certain situations.
Stick to the faces and be safe, pretty much.
I use that like triangle derpy face thing because like I do that all the time, and so I try and like convey that to people on our pages so they get like a better sense of who I am, and kind of like my sense of humor. So, but that's a different thing. I mean, you know, I'm obviously just the one running the social as opposed to an entire business, you know, that has multiple people for it. So, you know, all those are things to consider, definitely. So you'll remember to always be closing. So always evoke emotion and then ask for your audience to channel that emotion with some sort of action. So now, last thing we're going to cover very quickly and why this is so important is the algorithm. So Instagram has changed its new algorithm, which makes getting people to like and share and comment on your Instagram posts so much more important than ever before. So Instagram announced that it would be introducing a new feed algorithm similar to Facebook that organizes users' feeds by photos and videos that they are most likely to like and comment on.
I love how they said similar, because it is Facebook's algorithm. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah, so potentially this allows some leading brands to lose followers and even have to pay to play. So, you know, i.e., sponsored advertising. Again, this is from Austin's article, but he brings up some good points. You know, I don't necessarily think that it's going to, like, absolutely force you yet to be pure pay-to-play. Instagram will definitely get there where Facebook is, because Facebook is basically pay-to-play now. It's very, very difficult to do organic things that actually help your business that get high reach. You know, I mean, everybody can post a cat video and be successful, but, you know, what does a cat video have to do with selling tickets to your haunted house? You know, like, so...
Unless the cat is selling the tickets!
Yeah, I mean, it's very, like, it's very difficult now on Facebook to make that work. And now Instagram's new algorithm, you know, is better for the users because the users get content that they're most likely to want to engage with, but... That also means that if you're not creating good content for them or they're not going to want to engage with it, then, you know, it's not going to be seen by anybody. And we're heading more towards businesses being relegated to pay to play. It's not as bad as Facebook yet, but it's eventually going to get there. We all know that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, enjoy it now while it's still like this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, next year it won't be, or the year after it won't be. Because it kills me when people are like, they get so pissed off because, oh, well, Facebook's free. Why should it, you know, like, no. Facebook is a publicly traded company. They are in the business of making money, not running a social media website. So it's like they have to make money some way, and that is through advertising. And, I mean, and now that they own Instagram, like you just said, I mean, you can see the trajectory. I mean, you know where it's going
to
go. So,
what I'm going to say about that, like, Austin has a good point in here, you know, create valuable content, not spam. As long as we continue to generate meaningful content for potential customers, then we'll always see high levels of conversion, which is correct. But it's also correct to consider the ABC rule, the always be closing, in the context of helping your content get spread. So in the same way that the Facebook algorithm reads likes and comments and shares as engagement, it's the same way that Instagram reads their heart, little heart-like things and their comments as engagement. So that's why it's so important. It's like you're always be closing, you know, because people could come across your photo and like it, but then just keep scrolling. You know, like they're like, oh, I like this photo, and then they just keep scrolling. So what you want them to do is take an action if they like it, and because that action will help make your content go higher in your customers' feeds. So that's why it's important to, like, remind people to take an action. So that's why the ABC rule, the always be closing rule, is important, because, you know, regular people aren't marketers and they have no idea about any of this. You know, they don't know the best thing to help a business is to like their posts on Facebook, you know, and share, like, and comment. That those are some of the best things you can do to support somebody. You know, so they, it's same kind of with Instagram. You want to just remind them, like, hey, if you know, like this picture, like this, or tag a friend, or
like,
you know,
my status.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, whatever, like this picture if you support classic horror, or, you know, like this photo if you are going to go, if you're a Walking Dead fan and you're excited about XYZ, and tag somebody who wouldn't enjoy spoilers. I don't know. I mean,
well, if you like listening to a free Marketing Monday podcast, maybe you should like and share our postings on Facebook.
Well, that's obvious. Okay. Anyway, that's all we have on Instagram. It was a lot. We hope you guys learned something. That's all for this week.
Well, Philip, if they wanted to find us on Facebook, where can they learn more about Marketing Monday and the Haunted Attraction Network?
HauntedAttractionNetwork.com. We're obviously on Instagram. You can find us at Haunted_Attractions. We're on Facebook as the Haunted Attractions Network. And Marketing Monday goes out to all of the network and our email list and all of our everybody. So you'll see it if you're looking for it.
And you can reach me at Tyler@fearworm.com. That's going to do it for this week. We'll be back soon.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.